This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We're going to talk about recognizing the voice of God. And I had breakfast with people on Friday morning, and I said to them, you know, it's, when I start speaking about this, when I think in my own life in terms of when I came to Christ in May 2015, on that cold Sunday morning in Swakop, this was one of my many questions that came to mind when I stood in front there or stood up and said, Lord, I want to give you my heart. And just based on that, you know, somewhere along the line, each one of us had to make a decision. So we get to that place of saying, Lord, but how do I recognize your voice? Wow. God, do you speak audibly? Is it going to be this magical voice from heaven? You know, you've seen the children's pictures and children's stories, and they just basically, you would hear God speakers in the name and this and that. You would hear God audibly speak to these people. And I sometimes think, oh my goodness, Lord, when I was in that place, how do I discern when God is speaking to me? So for this sermon, and I really trust that you will just hear my heart follow and not see the seven steps or the practices that I'm going to help you to discover this morning. I'm not going to take them all into detail because we're going to be here for the whole day if we do that. But I want you to write them down together with the text verses that you will take time this week, these 7 days. And each day, meditate upon that one scripture and one question for this week. So that's some of the challenge right from the start. So initially, as I said, my mind, my thinking, God speaking, would be an audible voice in a form of theater-like and music and thunder and lightning, and God would speak. And then I realized, you know, after I've given my heart to the Lord, it doesn't happen like that. So I went to the Word. I said, okay, but Lord, how did you speak to the people in your word? And the first person that God spoke to was actually Adam, but then he spoke audibly to Eve for her to listen, which we're not going to go into. But it says, Genesis 3 verse 13 in the ESV says, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Easy, simple term. You don't need to think very hard how this happened. Then the Lord God said to the woman, straightforward. It's as if me saying to my wife, Malise, this and this, you will know that I have spoken. All right? Cain, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? The Lord said, easy. We don't have to think about this. This is straightforward. We go to Abram, before he became Abraham. He says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. He appeared to him and he said to him. So it's straightforward. It was the norm back then in the Old Testament. And if I go on and I had to put all of the scriptures that says the Lord said to this or the Lord spoke to this person, there would be over 1,000 text verses in just the Old Testament that would cover this. So in the Old Testament, this was a straightforward way for God to speak to his people. But why then is it so difficult for us? Let's look at the New Testament. And I'm just going to quote one person that recognized and discerned. Because in the New Testament, people had the disciples and people had Jesus with them. They would recognize his voice. They would know exactly when he spoke. This was, and some didn't believe it back then, but this was God speaking to us. His disciples knew that the Messiah was speaking to them. And when he left, when he went up to heaven after the resurrection, what did he say he's going to do? He said he's going to, in John, we can read that, but he's going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, for each one of us to bring to remembrance the things that he has taught us. But if we look in the New Testament and we see the recognition of God's voice, the Holy Spirit, We look at Acts 8, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. 3 verses before that, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. There's a big distinction between these two. An angel of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. This was the norm for them. They could discern in moments whether the angel of the Lord or the Spirit of the Lord spoke to them. That's how quick. We think of Moses. We think of Isaiah. We think of all the prophets in the Bible. God used them. God spoke to them directly. And that's how God's message came through. So what about today? Why is it difficult for each one of us to recognize the voice of God? Let's by a show of hands, who still struggles recognizing the voice? Thank goodness. Why then can't we hear him? And I'm going to take you to one of my favorite scriptures in the Word. And this comes from Judges 16, verse 20. And the reason why it's my favorite, because it scares the daylights out of me. So let's quickly read it. It says, and she said, now this is Delilah speaking, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But listen to this. But he did not know that the Lord had left. You know, when somebody tells you, I don't know who's ever had this feeling that in your workplace, that you were expecting something, and your supervisor or your boss comes to you and say, listen, sorry, I cannot give this to you. You've done this and this wrong, or you have not done this and this, or sorry, there's no, maybe in a salary case. What happens in this part of your body? For me, everything starts shrinking. I get this ice cold feeling. And it happens the same with confrontation. It happens the same in many aspects of my life that I've got to grow through. Is that the moment that I hear something that I did not expect, I have this ice cold feeling, sort of just crimping everything. Have you ever seen a piece of fruit or vegetable go through a nitro freezer? This goes, that's how I become. I cannot imagine what Samson went through the moment that he realized what had happened. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Other translation speaks of the strength. His strength had left him. But we know that in the word, his strength was equal to God himself. That's the only way. And the moment that he let go, he shared his secret, his hair was cut off, boom, God was gone. But did God make a big announcement to Samson to say to him, hey, I'm going to leave you if you do that? No, no, no. He did not. If you're not scared by that, then we're going to talk often. You see, I believe as with many things in life, we lend our ears to the things of this world. And the world and people in the world has become this amazing manipulative power that spreads words, spreads phrases, makes statements that we start believing. And if you continue to lend out your ears to everyone around you, everyone, all different teachings, all different radio stations, all different this and that, it's going to become difficult to recognize that one voice that stands out above. So how then do we know? So this is what I'm going to try and do within the next 20 minutes, to teach you 7 principles, but give you the 7 principles and ask you to take them this week and practice them. Test them against what you hear in your quiet time. Because God wants to make sure that you hear the right message. All right. So, I did not think of all these 7 things myself. So, please, I'm going to try and word them. Because if you listen to me, many of you have listened to me many times, and a lot of you have said to me, listen, halfway through some of the things, stop. I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking in circles. So I've had to consult some help in getting this done. So I've consulted with Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, And he's the author of many books like The Purpose-Driven Life, Purpose-Driven Church, Bible Study Methods, God's Power to Change Your Life, The Daniel Plan, God's Answers to Life, Difficult Questions, and so we go on. He knows what he's talking about. He's been in the business for a long time. So here goes. Get your notebooks out, because we're not going to stick to one particular scripture today, but we're going to look at many scriptures. And hopefully, and I'm trusting that as we continue with this, in this journey, that, you know, this is what I'm trusting for this year, is that God will continue to speak to us audibly, that we will know and recognize his voice, that we will continue to grow, we will hear him clearly, we will hear his direction for our lives clearly, and that we will continue to pursue that with all our heart, because that's the reason why we are sitting here. To get equipped this morning so that we can go out Monday morning and apply. If we sit here, we take it in, and we go home and do nothing with it, we become consumers. We shouldn't be consumers. We should be the hands and feet of God out there. And how do we know we are the hands and feet? We need to be sure that we know what he is saying. So let's get to the first point this morning. Of saying that, how do we recognize the word of the Lord? How do we recognize when God speaks to you, the voice of God? And the first question you can test it to make sure that you know, and the number one thing is, does it agree with the Bible? Luke 21 verse 33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You'll agree? Yes. I did not make that up. It's from the Word himself. John 1 verse 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So God speaks in different ways to different people. Each of us has got a certain personality. My personality and the person next to me will differ a lot. The way people speak to me, certain people I struggle to take in what they say to me. And others, yes. So does it make me a bad person? No, I just got to learn how to adapt, how to work towards this for people's hearing. So we grow when we hear the word of God. What it comes down to is we sometimes our own minds are so filled with the things that we say that we cannot distinguish what God is saying to us. So when we speak about does it agree with the Bible, we need to ensure that what we hear comes from the word of God. It is the word of God. Because if God says to you something and it does not agree with the Bible, it's not from him. And the key is we're going to go through every single point that we have this morning, that every single point the enemy knows better than you. So these are not principles. These are not the alpha and the omega of things of how to hear, how to recognize the voice of God. These are practices that you can put into place for you to determine and distinguish when you hear the word of the Lord. So we see that the Bible is not just a few words put together, but it's actually the word of God for us so that we can recognize when he speaks to us. If I do not know the Word of God, if the Word of God is just a reference book to me, I cannot recognize it. But if I know the phrases by heart, if I make it my own, and if I can quote Joshua 1 verse 5 in my heart, then I know I've made it my own in saying that God, you say in your Word, you will never leave me nor forsake me. And you hear the thing in your mind, God says to you, you've got to go into the desert and be alone for 40 days. I'm not going. But you hear in your heart, and then it's like, uh-oh, you got to question that. The enemy knows the word of God and will use it against you for his own good or bad. If you can say it like that. So the key in this is recognizing how God will say something. You know, forensic evidence or forensics, if you watch the CSIs or whatever, some of the things there is truth. They recognize certain speech patterns, certain words that people will use. They will use handwriting. They will use a certain phrases. If you talk long enough to Toyni, she's going to start saying, she's going to reveal certain things between how often we meet and words that she says. Boom, or what's our other words that we use? You know, there's certain things that I say, and she's adapted. But if I stand in a crowd and I say that word, she will recognize it. And that's how it's supposed to be with the word of the Lord. We are supposed to recognize it above the noise and above the crowd, so that when God speaks, we listen. So how does it work? Sometimes it's a thought in your mind. Sometimes you will hear it from somebody else. Every person is different. Every person hears it. And that's why the relationship with God is so important. That's why it's important for you to put yourself, not in isolation, but in solitude. People are still there. My community is still there. But Lord, I need to hear from you. So spending time in the Word, that is key in order to make sure that you know what you know, the Word of God. The second thing is, and I said I'm not going to go too deep. I cannot go too deep in this because it's a journey for each one of us. But I want to give you these guidelines so that you have something to work from this week. Because it's so important. We get so distracted by all the things that the world is offering us and giving us. The music, the TV, social media, Twitter, Facebook, what you call it. All these things. Instagram. I said to people, I'm not Instagram, I'm a kilogram, you know. More than a kilogram. So I don't do the small things, you know. I want to do things big. And that's who God is in my life. So does it, a second thing that we're going to talk about this morning, first thing is, does it agree with the Bible? Second thing is, does it make me more like Christ? You know, our sole purpose in life is to become Christ-like. There's a lot of things that God is asking of us. There's a lot of things that He's giving us to do. But the sole purpose in every aspect of our life is to become more like Him. And if you do not know what He is like, then you cannot become like Him. You've got to make Christ a study in order to become more like Him. You've got to walk with Him, live with Him, talk to Him to be like Him. Philippians 2 verse 5, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Attitude plays a big part. Paul urges us in a letter to the Corinthians to imitate him as he imitates Christ. So in your life, there will be somebody that has walked a greater journey than you with the Lord. It doesn't make you less of a Christian than him. Because there's no distinction between us. But there are some of us that has walked a greater journey, has gone through more testing and trials with the Lord that can help you, that can show you the way. That's why discipleship is so important. That's why it's not just another gathering that we do in the week or on a Wednesday or on a Thursday or Tuesday when we get together for small groups. That's not just another gathering to have tea and coffee. There's a discipleship aspect that plays a part there to say, listen guys, how do we become serious about this to become more like Christ? Because if I want to know what God is saying to you, if I want to recognize that voice, I need to know that whatever God is saying to me, is that going to promote me to become more like Him? So sometimes we have to face difficult situations, say no to certain things, in order that we can learn to become more like Him, to show more humility, to show more humbleness. And how do we know what Christ is like? We can look at Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit. Every tree will bear certain fruit. And what is the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does it promote that in my life? Does it promote the way that I walk and do and breathe and live life in a way that I'm imitating Christ so that other people can see it? So is this going to further my relationship with Christ, or will I have to go and hide in the bushes because I'm exposed? And that's one key thing that you can know. So when you hear something, when you've got a thought in your mind, this is what you're going to do. You can say, okay, but this thought, if I have to apply it, is going to be make me more Christ-like or not? Or is it going to be like Adam and Eve and put me in the bushes? Does it further your purpose in Christ or your comfort here on earth? Third thing this morning is, does my church family confirm it? I must say, let me read from Scripture first so you don't think I'm talking nonsense here. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. The word safety. We all look for safety and securement in some or other way. In your work, in your husband or your friends. We need that safety. And sometimes we need a friend. And I do have a good friend like that who can tell me straight to my face. Hey, I don't like what I'm seeing here. I don't think you're doing the right thing. Well, I'm going to first just challenge you a little bit on this. And that's the thing with church family. God designed family so that we do not have to stand alone. Because in isolation, I've said it last week, I'm going to continue saying it this year, I don't want people to isolate themselves from church, from small groups, from gathering with friends. Because the moment that you isolate yourself, you are more prone to hearing your own voice and your own thoughts and your own heart. And you are going to start to believe that. If you continue for the next week and you continue to say that you believe in this thing, you believe in this thing, you believe in this thing, after the 56th time that you're going to say it, you're going to start believing it. It takes 21 days for a pattern to form in your life, for habits to form. But it takes 21 days for the habit to stop as well. So here's the thing. Does my church family confirm it? Because I just love this part, because I love community. Without community, my purpose in life, I would not have heard the voice of God, because I would have thought I would have been lost. I would have heard it, but I wouldn't have been able to follow through. When I sat that Tuesday morning in 2016 on the 18th of July and I said, Lord, you're saying something in this scripture, and this was like words coming out, and I had this thought of go to Ephesians 3 verse 8 and read what it says. And the moment that I started reading it, the next thought came to mind. But what did I do? I phoned a friend. I said, Yaku, we need to talk, because things are going on in my life and I do not understand it. And Yaku has been through this journey. And what did he do? We prayed together. And he encouraged me. And he heard from the Lord Himself. And he could confirm it. There's safety in the number of counselors we have together. Matthew 18 verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am going. There I am among them. So when we talk about this, you have to understand that this was a... let me just make 100% sure that I don't tell you this. So what happened here was that this comes from a part, if a brother sins against you, you've got to go back and make amends with it, and then you come back to the altar. So when Jesus speaks here and he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them," it's for effective witnessing. So when you are alone in solitude and you hear what God says, and it's a difficult decision, you've got to go to a trustworthy friend, a safe place. And that's why church should be our safe place. It should be our place of safety, saying that whatever I confess and discuss with one another here, this is where it stays. So then we go on to the next part of saying, but okay, God says he will be there among us. God is everywhere. He will always be everywhere. But he is in that specific place when we are two or three and we gather together, we pray together, we discuss it together, so that there will be witnessing. Because we will always have two stories and the truth. And a third person, the Holy Spirit, will come in and he will give that truth to us. He will reveal it. Because here's the thing, God doesn't contradict himself. He doesn't say one thing to you now and then in the same breath, he says something totally opposite and different to you. He's a God of order. He's a God of consistency. And he wants to promote you in your purpose in life. Safety is in numbers. So we're going to go to point number four now. And I said I'm going to run through this. So please write it down. Write it at the end. We'll leave the screen up a bit more. Make sure you get the heading and the Bible verse, the text, in order to move with this. So point number four this morning, is it consistent with how God shaped me? So let's go back to the first three. It says, does it agree with the Bible? Second thing is, does it make me more like Christ? And does my church family confirm it? So the fourth thing here this morning is it consistent with how God shaped me? We each have a calling. And Romans 12 verse 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. So often we are scared to move with what we feel God is saying to us, what we feel we hear in our mindset. And when we think of, is it consistent with how God shaped me? It's the same principle as I am here today. If in my life, do not ask me to be a doctor. Okay? Because they will attend more to me than they would to the patient. My wife is always scared when we watch things on TV or bloody scenes. It's just like that, and then I fall asleep. And I wake up a bit later, and it's like, wow, what happened? But it will do more damage if I'm being asked to become a doctor. But ask me to be an encourager. Ask me to tell people about the good of what we are going to do. Ask me about Bible school. Amen. If I'm finished with you now this morning, everybody would sit here on Tuesday night. That's just what I am good at. That is what the grace of God has given me. That is my gift, according to the Father. I'm an exhorter. But I need the teachers, and I need the mercy, and I need the rulers and the prophets in my life in order to strengthen me. So when God gives me a word and recognizing his voice and identifying it, it's that place of saying, Lord, is it going to shape me in where you want me to go in my purpose in life? It doesn't need to say that because I'm an exhorter, this is the only line of work in the ministry that I'm going to do. I'm only going to stand here and encourage you day in and day out. No. My responsibility remains that I need to grow in all other aspects of the giftings. But God is shaping me when I hear something to say, hey, this is the direction that you are going in. Is this going to shape me? when I have to take a job offer, when I have to take a move from one house to another, when I have to look for my husband or my wife, where is God in that, in saying that? Do you understand that when you hear from Him, it is going to shape you into that direction of growing? Sometimes we will have that meeting in our congregation, and people would come and they would bring a word to you. I've had many occasions where a word was brought, it was given actually to somebody else, but I could immediately, in my chair on this side, relate to it. Because I knew that what I heard there would shape me and advance me in closer to God, and purposefully advance my life. So, is it consistent with how God shaped me? It should be. Then you know you are hearing from the Lord. Does it agree with the Bible? Does it make me more Christ-like? Does my church family confirm it? Fifth thing on the list. Does it concern my responsibility? So I look, I read this book. I went through my notes again, and last night, and I heard this, and I read this verse in John 1:22, and it says, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." We love poking into other people's lives. Especially me, I've got this little pointy nose. I just love putting it in other people's lives. I want to know what's going on there, man. But we always want to have a word for somebody else. We always want to have a word for Ilana and Jock because they are good friends. But no, God, don't worry about me. Just give them a word. Okay? Just give a word to Toini. Come. God, you're going to give it to me today. I just want to hear from you. This word is just for you. We always go about thinking that when we hear, it's supposed to be for other people. But here's the key. God doesn't want to shape that person through you right now. He wants to shape you. He wants to speak to you. So what is it then in this person's life is not for you? Follow the Lord. So in recognizing His voice, we're saying that Peter was here concerned about the death of somebody else, how this person would die rather than he. I mean, Jesus practically told him, "Hey, dude, you're going to be martyred. You're going to die for me." Okay? I don't know what I know what they're going to do to you, but I'm going to spare you that details, but you're going to die for me. Yeah, but Lord, you know what? Barnabas and Paul, what's happening to them? Huh? What's happening to them? They're also going to die. He says, "Oh, how they die is none of your concern. Follow me." Focus on how God is shaping you, how God is enabling you to move forward. So when recognizing, when the devil comes and he puts these thoughts in our minds, because here's the thing, when you are a born-again Christian, this comes from a deliverance thing, and just one thing that you can take this morning as well, is that knowing that the enemy comes and he has this ability to throw a bucket load of information and things over your mind. Because he cannot see what is going on in your mind, but he has the ability to alter that through influence. Okay? Through influence. So sometimes you would hear a whole lot of contradicting things or things in your life, and it's as if these thoughts are pulling you away from looking into your own heart, checking things in your own life. Because we are concerned, our minds is there for the other person. And that's where God says, "Hey, stop first for a moment. There's a place and a time where I will use you through the gifts of prophecy, of words, of wisdom, knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit. I will use that in order to edify the body of Christ. But there's a place in where I speak to you in your solitude with me, in your growing, in your finding your identity, that I'm not going to speak about other people, I'm going to speak about you. So recognizing that, when these thoughts come in, you quote James 4 verse 8, says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have that authority in you. Does it concern my responsibility? Number 6, is it convicting rather than condemning? Oh, man, how often have we heard to do a certain things, but you feel so guilty, so ashamed. Like, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot run away from this family, or I cannot go to this other job, because what's going to be about this people? And we have this constant struggle in our lives about taking this decision and not taking it. But this is where the gold furnace principle applies. If you are placed in a gold furnace, if gold is placed in the furnace and heated up, and I've said this many times as well, the impurities, what's that word? Rises, it separates. Thank you, there we go. It separates from the gold, from the purity. So the impurities is exposed as these black little dots on the gold, and the nice gold is on the bottom. But if we take that piece of gold and we put it aside and we don't deal with it, we don't go and take a chisel and chisel that off, the moment that we get back into the furnace, it's going to become part of the gold again. That's how God works with us, in exposing our impurities, not to condemn us, not to make us feel guilty or ashamed, but in order for us to grow to a place and preparing us for what is to come in eternity. Because here's the thing, God is holy. His fridge is perfectly white. And you cannot come with all your sin and step into His presence. The only way we can do that is by the blood of the Lamb that covers us and takes away, and has already taken away our sin. So when you hear the Word of God, when you recognize the Word of God, James is very clear in this. He says, we all have sin. And he says in James 4:7, says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God will not shame you. He draws us closer to Him. So in understanding what God is saying to me, you can look back and say, it's shaping me in some way that I need to let go of anger, of ongeduld, impatience. English words are leaving me this morning. Impatience. You know, being critical about everything. Those are things that God is exposing in our lives by putting us in heated situations sometimes, that we will get to that place of identifying it and getting back to taking a step back and saying, Lord, how do I become more like you? Is the fruit of the Spirit still here? And make it a prayer. Lord, come and prune the vines in my tree, because Jesus is the true vine. And if I grow from him, I will imitate him. I will become like him. I will be part of him. But if I grow here on my own little thing, it's easy for the enemy to bring condemnation amongst us. Romans 8 verse 1 is clear. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not just a little say thing, a little thing that we just make up. This is not a reference verse. This is a promise. This is the word of God, the everlasting word. So by not being holy, does it mean we are destined for hell? No. Again, by the blood of the Lamb, we are saved. And then God will come and he will purify us by convicting us on areas. And it's the same with me in my house. If I shout at my kids, I feel not condemned. I feel convicted. I need to work on this. So when you hear the voice, when you hear this, when you receive this mindset, when this thought comes to mind, if it makes you feel guilty or ashamed, you discard it. You say, sorry, I'm going to get my friend to pray with me. Lord, I'm going to trust that you will reveal the truth of this word to me. And the last one before half the church falls asleep. Everybody still awake? Hallelujah. Give me an amen there. Thank you. We're only five, but we are a multitude. Thank you, Lord. Right, so the last one is, do I sense God's peace about it? I've heard many times when people take a decision, even in my own life, I've heard this. It says, you know, I have the peace of the Lord on this decision. Okay? Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is not the only way to test the recognizing the voice of the Lord. This is but one of the ways. And this is what I want to give you tonight, this morning. If your decisions makes you anxious, pressured, confused, impulsive, take a step back, because most often, it is because we are caught up in our own selves. These decisions sometimes come at a time where it's crunching, it's difficult, it's pressured. And you get to that point of saying, okay, I need to make a decision now. What's happening? But here's the thing. Satan drives us compulsively. He wants us to make those compulsive decisions all the time. It's the same. I'm looking for a car now. We're looking for a SUV or seven-seater or something. And I stepped into a dealership the other day, and this dealer is like, hey, man, this is the perfect deal on the table for you. So let's go. We can get this for your car. We can do that. We can do that. Things are in place. My wife and I just said, you know, in the multitudes, there's safety. In the council of many, there's safety. Thank goodness for my wife. We are many together. So there was safety in saying that we're not going to make this decision. God just has this amazing way of just bringing a peace about a decision that you have to make. But if you struggle with it, if it's there, and you're not sure about it, maybe it's a place to just step back and say, Lord, because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, met Jesus on his road to Damascus, on the way to Damascus, and he only saw him in the spirit. But he had this in his heart, that God is not confused. He does not bring confusion on you, but he brings peace about you. And we have Peter Lord's senior Peter Lord, his son is with us, the Lord family. Now he was, Peter's granddad was a pastor and he's in the US, and Rick Warren quotes him and says that 90% of what God wants to say to you is encouragement. And if you hear from God all the time, that is all the things that is negative, all the time that it's negative, you need to know there is a problem. 90% of the time. Wow. The seven things, I'm going to quickly repeat it. Does it agree with the Bible? Does it make me more Christ-like? Does my church family confirm it? Is it consistent with how God shaped me? Does it concern my responsibility? Okay. Is it convicting rather than condemning? Do I sense the peace about it? Guys, these are just guidelines. I want to do something special this morning, and I know we're running out of time, and the kids' church are getting anxious. But I want us to take a moment here just to stand still. I'm going to ask all the leaders to come to the front, even those that are leaving this week. They can, for the last minute, be a leader. So I want all the leaders to come to the front. And we're going to do something special this morning, because we as leaders have also a responsibility towards you as part of our membership. So we're going to pray for one another this morning, that we will hear clearly, that we will see clearly, okay, and that we will pursue that. So if you are, we're going to switch the lights off. I'm going to ask Adrian to come up for the last song, for just for some background music, but also do a last song. But I'm going to ask the leaders to come to the front with me, and we're going to stand here, and we're going to invite you to come to us and let us pray with you. That if you struggle to hear the word of the Lord, if you struggle to recognize His voice, and this is something not to be ashamed of, but really to act in honesty and truth and say, listen, this is a place of safety. So we just want to lay hands on you. We just want to pray with you in two words, saying, Lord, release your voice over these people, over our family. Because if we want to grow together, if we want to grow in this, we need to be comfortable with the word of the Lord. All right. So we are not many, but that's the beauty of it. You can stand up, you can come to the front, you can just say, I need to hear the voice of the Lord a bit more clear. Ignatius, will you just switch off the lights there for me, please? So as we end off with this last bit, I'm going to continue in a prayer, but in that prayer, I just want you to take a moment. Can everybody just stand up for me? We're going to stand together. Lord, we are so often so busy, so involved in our own self and our lives, and we struggle to hear your voice. But Lord, this morning, your word is so clear. As David writes in Psalm 46 verse 10, 46 verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Father, we want to be still in front of you this morning. And as leaders, Lord God, we want to take that step and trust you, Lord, this morning, that you will open the ears of all of us. Because we do not put ourselves on a different stand, because there's no distinction between us, Lord. But we become vulnerable before you this morning. We want to show humility, Lord, saying, Lord, we need you. We need you to help us discern when we hear you and when we hear other voices. Father, as we extend our hands through leadership, Lord God, this morning, to each and every person that comes forward, we trust, Lord, that your Spirit will fill them up. We trust, Lord, that you will give them clarity in their hearts and in their minds. Lord, we trust that you will open their spiritual eyes, that they will see what you want them to see. Lord, we trust that you will open their spiritual ears, that those with ears will hear and those with eyes will see. Let them see and let them hear. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.